Welcome to Ghostbusters, a radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bed. Why? Because many church folks are falling in the darkness. Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been listening to a tape here about Jacob Price. He's a Bible teacher over in England. But he knows, I mean, this guy, he has just a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of knowledge. And he was talking about the days of Lot. And one of the things that he brought out that I hadn't really focused on is he was bringing out how it was in Jesus' day, in Paul's and them day, is how it will be again in our day. And you think about it, how Paul, you know, he introduced his letter to the book of Romans talking about homosexuality, because that's how it was in Paul's day, as he went over into Greece, and when he started taking the gospel beyond Israel. You know, a lot of times people say, well, you know, Jesus really never talked about homosexuality, because homosexuality was a sin there in Israel, and you could be stoned and stuff like that, and they didn't play that in Israel. But once you moved outside of Israel, man, it was running rampage. It was running rampage. All of your emperors, all your Romans emperors and kings and stuff, they was into all kinds of sexual sins. They was bisexuals, homosexuals. I mean, they was everything. They was everything. And this is how it's going to be in the days of Lot. Let me get out of the way and get close to your radio, because Jesus said it was going to be like it was in the days of Lot. Homosexuality is going to run rampage. So get close to your radio and listen.
But then the line was drawn. You can't let that in the church. The apostle said it was wrong. Now, Steve Chalk, the leading youth minister in Britain, was asked to perform a same-sex marriage privately. He said, I refuse. I will never perform a same-sex marriage privately. I'll only do it publicly. Brian McLaren, the leading author and pioneer of the so-called emerging church, performed the same-sex marriage for his son and his son's husband. Tony Campolo, oh, don't even go there. Now you understand, these are people who claim to be saved Christians. Didn't happen in the first century church. The line was drawn. Yeah. Look with me first of all, please, to 2 Peter chapter 2. Sorry. As we mentioned last night, the rescue stories, the rescue narratives of Scripture prefigure, foreshadow the rapture, which will be rescued. We see this in Daniel 12, we see it in the Olivet Discourse. We're reading in 2 Peter chapter 2. We looked at Noah this morning and last night, now let's begin in verse 6. And if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction, Gomorrah comes from leave more to close, to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly thereafter. And if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard that righteous man, while living among men, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day with their lawless deeds. And the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. The proliferation of homosexuality, what we today euphemistically refer to as alternative lifestyles or sexual orientation. Tormented his soul. Before Jesus comes back, radical homosexuality and militant homosexuality and lesbianism is going to become so rampant and oppressive, it'll be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Christians will be tormented. Already it's begun using our tax dollars to fund schools where this stuff is taught to our children and grandchildren by law. It began in the United States and in San Francisco, but now it's everywhere. This is going to torment Christians, we're told. Same as it did Lot. Oh, there's a rescue coming. But this thing is going to get really out of control before the Lord comes, before the rescue. This homosexual thing is going to get worse and worse. Now understand, first it began by tolerance. We have to be tolerant. After all, there's always been famous homosexuals and bisexuals, you know, from here, from the school over in Enniskillen. Oscar Wilde's going to be one, you know. Yeah, homosexuals can be very creative people in the humanities, theater, dance, literature, there's no question about it. I've seen them in New York, and they can be very creative people. Choreography, there's no question. But these are talents being misused. They're talents, but they're being misused for the propagation of decadence and perversion. But they want to be tolerated, okay, so they were tolerated. These acts would be criminalized. But then, that is not enough. Toleration does not mean you have to tolerate their choice of lifestyle. You have to agree with it and sanction it. They redefine tolerance. And the ones who talk the most about tolerance are themselves the most intolerant. I don't agree with homosexuality. I don't agree with same-sex marriage. We're not going to tolerate you. You're a homophobe. Fire them from their job. You can't be a teacher. You can't practice law or medicine. You can't be a policeman. You're a homophobe. You're guilty of a hate crime. But wait a minute, that's just my values. Don't you believe in tolerance? We're not tolerating you. The ones who rant the most about tolerance are the most intolerant. And they redefine tolerance to mean you must sanction. To tell little kids in a school Well now, Tommy, well now, Beverly, you have to decide if you're going to be a lesbian, if you're a lesbian, or if you're gay. You have to discover your identity. This is a curriculum in schools. It, of course, began with Darwinism. They wouldn't teach the scientific arguments against Darwinism. That set the first precedents in education. But now it's gone to sexual orientation. No education system that's no longer about teaching students how to think, but indoctrinating them as to what to think. That's what the school system is. It's no longer there primarily for purposes of education. It is there primarily for purposes of indoctrination. And indoctrinated with things that are inimical to the standards of God. There are people who will see this video and consider what I'm saying hate speech. The cocaine addiction of my youth would have put me in the same hell as any homosexual or lesbian. The grace of Jesus delivered me from my addiction. And I know people who were formerly homosexuals and lesbians who've been set free of their addiction. I don't hate those people. I love those people and I want them to be saved. Amen. Well, how do we address this? What was going on in the first century? Let's begin where this problem began for Christians, the first century. Turn to Romans chapter 1, please.
Get engaged and get married. But before
joined in holy wedlock, they fornicate. They consummate a relationship without the relationship being marital. They sleep together before marriage. They may actually be in love. They may actually care about each other and be committed in some human sense. They may actually be intending to get married. But it's still fornication. There's a mixture. No, she may not be some broad you picked up in a discotheque for a one-night stand. You might really love her, but it's a mixture. If you loved her with God's love, you'd marry her first. Be careful of the mixture. And it's not only moral, it's theological. Seventh-day Adventist, Roman Catholicism, all of these things mix truth with error. For they exchange the truth of God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who's blessed forever and ever. Now look at verse 26 again. For this reason God gave them over. Notice twice, God gives them over to it. To degrading passions, for their women exchange the natural function for that which is unnatural. Notice it begins with women, not men. Eve sinned before Adam. There is nothing more contrary to the God-given female nature than killing your own baby. You see a young bride that's pregnant. Those hormonal changes physiologically have a psychological and an emotional counterpart. She begins thinking differently. She may be a kind of a wild kid still when she gets married, but as soon as that kid comes along, no, in fact, as soon as she knows she's pregnant, she begins thinking differently. Everything becomes the baby, 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 and that maternal bond remains. Postpartum after the birth. That is the nature of women. There is nothing more contrary to the nature of women than aborting your own baby with no clinical reason. But they speculate, oh, it's just a cluster of cells. No, it isn't. It has the human genome from conception. Babies are surviving earlier and earlier in gestation. They do not have an embryological definition that can separate infanticide from abortus provocatus, use the medical term. They do it legally. But some countries, or some in America, some states, oh, it's after 12 weeks, it's after we hear a heartbeat. The whole thing is there. The genome is there from conception. But they speculate and get around it. Now, obviously, as a Christian, I do not agree with anything extramarital sexually. I agree with marital sexuality, as you do. We don't agree with extramarital sexuality. But in today's world, with the kinds of birth control available, spermicides and, you know, IUDs and procedures out of necessity. But doing an invasive procedure without necessity, early term abortions and DNCs and things like that, but now there's late term ones and partial birth abortions, pulling the baby out by its cranium with forceps, doing a suboccipital puncture, inserting a suction catheter, and sucking a baby's brains out at an age when it was capable of being born alive and living a normal life, and it is legal. Oh boy. They exchange the natural function for that which is unnatural. Obviously, this is making reference to lesbianism. The Greek Isle Lesbos was a colony of women who did this. And in the same way, also the man abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the dual penalty of their error. Now, physicians know this. They know this. There's not a medical doctor who was not taught histology and histological anatomy. The lining of intestinal tissue is a single strata, columbar epithelium. Single. Unlike the vaginal mucosa that's multi-strated, it's not designed to sustain sleepless acts without medical risk. There's not a physician in the world that won't tell you. Intestinal tissue is hyper-absorptive. It's a good way of catching something. Because it perforates so easily. This is known medically. It's a public health issue. It's borne witness in the biostatics, in the infection rate, in the STD rate, in the HIV rate among homosexuals. It's statistically borne out. It puts somebody in a high risk. Why? Because they receive in their own persons the dual penalty of their error. Just as they did not seek fit to acknowledge God any longer, here's the third time, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Three times, Paul says God gives them over to it. When God gives someone over, and ultimately God gives a society over, as we'll see tomorrow, with Josiah's revival. When God gives someone over, the conscience becomes dysfunctional, seared. The way somebody is convicted of sin to repent and get saved requires a functioning conscience. Conscience is the mechanism through which conviction of sin takes place. When the conscience is seared, it's like a broken gauge on a vehicle. You don't know how fast you're going or how much petrol you have left in your tank. There's no indicator. When God gives them the keys to the car, go ahead, drive it. What's going to happen when you get in a car with no working gauges? Digital indicators of how fast you're going, God gives them the keys. Go ahead. That's what you want? Go ahead. He gives them over to it. Now, this is not only talking about homosexuality as we read, but it's first of all talking about that and lesbianism in the context, in this passage. There are other places where God gives people over to stuff as well. But he gives them over to these degrading passions. I have never met a homosexual male who became a Christian. And I know Christians who were saved from that background. I've never met one. I've met a number, but I've never met one who didn't have the same testimony. They all have the same testimony. They had some kind of weak or absent father figure in childhood. And as they came into early adolescence and assumed the sexual identity, they had a gender identity crisis because of the way they grew up. In other words, the increased divorce rate, children being born out of wedlock, will automatically drive up the homosexual and lesbian population. Talk to an ex-lesbian who became a Christian. She'll tell you the same thing. She'll tell you the same thing. Daddy was mommy. They will say the same thing. The testimony of every lesbian I know who's gotten saved, and of every homosexual I've ever met who's gotten saved, there's an organization of them in the States called Life, Living, and Freedom Eternal. And I have friends who say that. Good Christians. But if you heard the testimony of one, you've heard the testimony of all of them. They're, first of all, in some way victims of sin themselves. Okay. But they reach a point where they have to assume responsibility for their own choices. And they choose that. When you do something that is conspicuously abnormal, anti-natural, God gives them over to it. In other words, they think it's normal. I saw an outrageous TV commercial. It was not a commercial, it was an advertisement in Australia. Sound of a baby, and the parents were there expecting to find out if it was a boy or a girl, and they said, "It's a lesbian." Now there is zero antenatal medical evidence that somebody is born with such an orientation. You only got X and Y chromosomes. Yet they're able to present this as being factual in the mainstream media. Something that every geneticist, every physician knows is not real. What goes along with it? Why? God has given them over. Professing to be wise, they become fools. The deification of man. That's how it begins.
All right, we're going to stop the tape right there today. That was Joseph Prass, and he was here talking about the days of Sodom. Of Lot. That's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here in the Ghostbusters.